You know, for years, Baptists, and particularly Southern Baptists, have been known for being people of the book. And when I say people of the book, I mean this book, the Bible. And one of the things that your pastors and staff have done or committed to, we've been doing this now for 4 years, is making sure that you have daily devotions in your hand, in your possession, so that when you come in on Sunday morning, you're not just saying, I wonder what the preacher's going to be preaching on today. There should never be a question from those who attend regularly, because you should know. Because you have devotions, like I said, that we've been doing for 4 years now. And the reason we're doing this, your pastors and staff, we want you to know that the power for knowing God through Christ Jesus comes through knowing His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not involved in the devotions yet, start today. If you go back to the information table back here in the back, you can pick up a devotion there. There's a stack of paper pages right now. They're for the children's rooms right now. The children's devotion is not in yet, but those are there for you. And this week, for instance, there's a bookmark. These are not dated in the book. That way, when we're finished with them, people can use them without a particular date, just whenever works. But there's a bookmark that's got the dates. This week, we've been dealing with authorized to serve. We're talking about connecting to God through ministry. All of us have been authorized to serve as children of God. This coming up week, we'll be talking about empowered to serve. So I hope before you leave today, you will pick up a devotion book and begin digging in to God's Word. I believe that folks at Harps Crossing Baptist Church will become empowered truly by the Word of God. And this gives you the opportunity. My thinking is, if we do this all week and then we come in on Sunday morning, we're together. We're one in mind and spirit, and one in the Word. So pull out your notes right now that you received this morning. Again, these things are labors of love. There's a lot of folks that work all week long getting notes together and getting notes ready, getting devotions ready, so that we can be more equipped to be the people that God wants us to be. Now this week, by way of reminder, for those of you that went through devotions, you should not hear anything today that shocks you or surprises you, because you've already been here. We talked about there's work to be done. We're going to look at this more clearly tonight as we look at John 17, 1 through 5. And Jesus talked about the work and finishing the work that God had given him to do. And if you go back to Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was 12 years old, he got separated from his parents when they went to the temple. And when they went back and looking for him, they were all panicky. We couldn't find you, these earthly parents. And he said, I had to be about my Father's business. And then in John 17, he said, I finished the work, the business that you've given me to do. And then we see in John 6 that Jesus defined what that work is. We're going to look closely at that tonight. Then we talked about serving on the basis of Jesus' authority, because Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, all power is given to me, both in heaven and earth. That is all authority. And now it's been given to me, and now I'm giving it to you. Go make disciples of all nations. And then authorized to warn and share the good news. We're going to talk about that this morning, Ezekiel 2, and then authorized to spy out the land and authorized to be a successor. Now, I think it's always important every once in a while to just kind of be reminded of some things, and here they are. God became a man and dwelt among us. That's called the incarnation. If anybody ever asks you, what's this whole thing about Jesus? It is God became a man, dwelt among us in such a way that we could know him personally. He experienced the same stuff and same struggles that we experience, yet without sin, and he became a sinless sacrifice for our sins. In Philippians, we read that Jesus became a man, but also he became a servant. He emptied himself. He poured himself out of his divinity as God, and he came to be a servant. In Matthew, we read that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In John, we read that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Now that's stooping pretty low for the God of the universe who created everything to actually wash the feet of his disciples. Ultimately, he was the suffering servant written about in Isaiah. He came to serve. He was authorized to serve by his Father. He then in turn authorized his followers to be servants also. And he taught his believers that then through his Spirit that he would empower, embolden, and equip us to serve. Everything we do as believers is about the mission. And the bottom line of the mission is that the whole world will know and love and worship God, and God has revealed himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And so everything we do, you know, you watch this guy who is an animator, and he uses what God has given him to bring glory to God and to be in on the mission. That is for all of us. How can I be used of God in my workplace, in my home, in my community, so that God would receive glory? Now, turn with me, please, in your notes or up on the screen to Ezekiel chapter 2. Stand with me, please, out of honor and respect for God's word. Now, let me give you a clue here. Chapter 1 of Ezekiel is one of the most weird chapters in the Bible. If you've not read it, go home today and read it, because Ezekiel has this incredible vision of some weird stuff. And really don't try to figure it out that it was flying saucers, it was the airplane or anything else. No, it was a God saying, I am God, there's no one like me. And then he was getting him ready to say, now I've got something for you to do. And that's where chapter 2 opens up. And again, it was just a really, really far out vision that he had. And I think God was just trying to say, hey, you need to know who I am. I am like none other. And now I've got a message for you. And that's chapter 2, verse 1. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet. Why was he not on his feet? I got a feeling if you and I saw what he saw, we wouldn't have been on our feet either, all right? I don't think we would have been on our knees. We would have been laying flat on the faces and just scared to look up. Then the Spirit entered me, and when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. Now, if there was a period there, I'd feel a whole lot better about this. But what comes next terrifies me. To a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, and they and their fathers have transgressed against me in this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or be dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And what he's about to eat is the word and the message from God. Wow. You see, what you read here is basically what God, I believe, is saying to us. And we need to get it, because America and the whole world needs to hear the truth and the word of God. And he has given it to us just like he gave it to Ezekiel, to go to a people who were rebellious, stubborn, vicious, attacking, and we are to speak the truth of God and be the messenger that he has called us to be. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would use your word powerfully in us. May your Spirit stir your church to a life like we've never experienced in our day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, when you dig into this, you see that God really set Ezekiel up to receive this message, because he saw this incredible vision of an awesome and mighty and incredible God who is like no other. And he provided for him three very significant experiences for him, and he's done the same for us. You and I have been authorized to serve. Now, to be authorized means to be given delegated influence from a power that's greater than you. So when we go out and we come across a law enforcement a person, then they have power that has been delegated to them by the county, by the state, by the federal government. So they're operating not on their own power or authority; they're operating on delegated power and authority. And what God has done for Ezekiel and He's done for us is He has authorized us to go do certain things and to deliver a certain message. Now, let me tell you this. If you have been born again, you are a delegated servant of God. You have been delegated by the God of the universe, who delegated His Son, Jesus Christ, who delegated us to go and take the message and take the assignment and go do it. Now, several things that we need to notice here. First of all, He provided power for Ezekiel. And let me tell you this, He has provided power for you too. And we'll come to that in just a moment. Very important. Ezekiel 2, 1 and 2, he said, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Then the Spirit entered me when He spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard Him who spoke to me. The Spirit of God came upon him. He received the Spirit of God to go and deliver the message. God gave him the power for the work that God is called him to do. God will never tell you to do something that He will not first provide for you the power that you need to do it. Once again, God will never tell you to do something that He will not first provide for you the power. The power is already there. And the power is the Spirit of God. In addition to this, if you look there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." God has given you, as one of His children, He has given you everything you need for life and godliness to serve Him. Now, look up here at me, because I want you to understand something. Here's what we do. We get ourselves so connected to our little world and our little circumstances that we forget we have been given this power and that we have been given this knowledge. And when He talks about knowledge here, it's the word not gnosko, which is the normal word to know. It is epigenosko. Epi means it is a heightened form. It is an intimacy with the living God that God has given to us so that we will be filled with Him. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. So often I hear people say to me, "Well, Pastor, I can't do this." I'm going to tell you again, if God has called you to do something, you are right, you cannot do it. It is the power of God who is living in you. It is not your ability. I hear people say, "Well, I don't have the confidence that I need." You don't need confidence. Not confidence in yourself. Our confidence must be in the One who has come to live inside of us. He has placed His Word inside of us. And our confidence is not in us. It is what is in us. Make sense? It is not in us. Our confidence is not in us. It is what He has placed in us, and that is the living Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, and His Word that is placed in us. We spend too much time trying to work on our personality and our pizzazz and our charisma so that we can impress people. Folks, listen, it is not your charisma, it is not your capability, it is what God has placed inside of you. And it is when we take God's Word and we read it and we dig into it, and I mentioned this earlier, And you're going to spend it. I was having this conversation with my youngest son, Josh, and his wife, Autumn, the other day, as they're adjusting to a new baby. And I tell you, we spend our lives, particularly when we become adults, we spend our lives making adjustments, right? We adjust to children. We adjust to husband, we adjust to wife, we adjust to jobs, circumstances, we adjust to a crazy world, we adjust to a changing, different administration, we adjust to all these things that comes upon us. Now here's the deal. You cannot correctly adjust unless you have the book in one hand and then you're watching what's going on in the world and you're trying to adjust yourself to what's going on in the world only with the book. If you try to adjust yourself to what's going on in your world without the book and without guidance, you are going at it with absolutely zero resources. And you wonder why so many people in the world are depressed, discouraged, anxious, worried, bent out of shape, even in the church, is because we're trying to make adjustments and try to figure out how to do this, and we're trying to do it without the guidance and the instruction. That's why I'm saying to you, when we're living our lives, it's not in our resources. It is in what God has placed in us. We should be digging into His Word like, God, I got to know because I don't know how to live in this world. You know, we say, nah, preacher, I really don't have time to read the Bible, study the Bible. You don't have time? If you don't, you ain't gonna make it. I can't make it any clearer than that. Because, again, I know that when I am kind of doing everything on my own, I get depressed, discouraged, anxious. You say, preacher, how do you guard against it? I say, God, I can't do this. I've shared this with you before, and I shared it again in the first service this morning. Sheila and I, at least once a week, and maybe more, we'll come in. How is it that God has allowed us to be in this wonderful, glorious church for over 35 years? It's because of Him. It's because of Him. And I know that some people say, no, you're just using that little humility thing there. No, I want you to understand this. I know me better than you know me. And my mama prayed for me to graduate one day from elementary school. And I really think she was concerned that I wasn't going to make it. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't either, and I didn't care. You know, to me, it was a miracle that I made it. And, see, because when we graduated from elementary school, when I was a kid, that was seventh grade. And so seventh grade, elementary school, went kindergarten through seventh grade. And boy, it was a miracle that I made it. It was even a greater miracle that I made it through high school. Because really, I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to have a good time and play and have fun. And then I met this wonderful, wonderful woman. See, this was the story. I didn't say anything bad about you this morning. It's only good. Somebody, had a visitor, met her this morning and said, oh, he was talking about you this morning. I go, oh, no, I'm in trouble. I met this wonderful woman, and then she made me do my work at school. When I was in college, she would keep me up late at night studying scripture, studying all my things that I have to. And suddenly I went from a terrible, terrible student, barely making it through, to making the president's list. Now, folks, that was not me. That was God who provided for me a person who came alongside of me as a helpmeet and really got me going. You see, again, I'm telling you, we need to look and see that the person you are today is because God has been working in you and placing people in your life and placing events and things in your life. And you can only say that, I know it's not me, but it is the one that has placed in me through His Word. And God only can accomplish that. It is this power. He has given us His Spirit. He's given us intimate knowledge. Do you know Him intimately? Now, when I say, do you know Him intimately? I'm saying, are you knowing Him intimately? You know, God sent Jesus Christ so that we could walk with Him and live with Him and fellowship with Him and have an ongoing intimate relationship with Him. That is Christ living in us. So first of all, He provided power for Ezekiel, and He's done the same thing for you. And then next, He told Ezekiel of His assignment, verses 3-5. Man, and this is scary. This is scary. You know, if I was Ezekiel, I'd say, no thanks. I don't think I want to do this. I mean, he used the terminology 8 times rebellious in chapters 1 and 2. He said, I'm sending you to these people, my people, and they are rebellious. 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 And Ezekiel, by the way, I want you to know something about these people. They are rebellious. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to turn away from you. But I'm sending you with a message, and you're supposed to go in. You see, the assignment and the message trumps response. Did you hear that? The assignment and the message trumps response. You know what I've observed over the past 20 years in America is we're trying to make the message acceptable. That's not our task. Our task is to deliver the message. What if they won't listen? He said they won't. He told us that some people would not listen. And we go, oh, let's see if we can make it palatable. Don't you try to make it palatable. Don't get in the way of the truth. Tell the truth. Well, some people don't like the truth. Well, duh. Goodness gracious, of course they don't. It's right there. They're rebellious. He says, you just need to go ahead and care and do it. Just take the message. Brothers and sisters, we have been authorized to go tell people the truth. Ezekiel's task was to warn them and then to give them a message of hope. Our task is to warn people, listen, if you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're going to have a miserable life, and then at the end of a miserable life, you're going to have a miserable eternity in a place called hell. Preacher, you shouldn't use those words. That makes people uncomfortable. Good. Because then you open them up to hear the rest of the story, which is the good news. God, we sang about it a moment ago. I wrote down the words from the song that God has dealt with the power of sin and death in Christ Jesus. And if any person will receive God's gift of salvation through Christ, they will be born again. They'll be given life now and life for eternity. That's the message. And it is a very simple message. It is a compelling message, and it is a message that helps people make sense of the world. You say, why are all these things? People say to me, well, Pastor, if God was a good God and he was in control, it seems like he would do something. Thank you very much. He did. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He has done something. And then he says, okay, you can go on and do your merry thing, but you're going to answer to me, and you need to understand that. He has done something, and he will do something, and it will all be completed in a place called the new heaven and the new earth. You see, that's what this is all about. So Ezekiel was empowered by God. He was given his assignment, and then he was challenged. God challenged him to be faithful. You see, he's given you and me a message. He's given us the power. And he's also encouraged us to be faithful. Hear the encouraging words? And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. We have scorpions sometimes in our house. In fact, I saw one this morning in the basement. Irma did it. I had the sweetest aunt in the world. Her name was Irma. With an E. And so it's just kind of hard for me to really get Irma with an I in perspective here. But you see, scorpions in my house, I usually see this about this big. But these scorpions are like 6 inches long. Okay, they're the kind that can sting you and kill you. So he said, you're going to be among scorpions. And he said, don't be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you will speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. He said, don't be afraid of them. He said, don't be afraid of their words. You know what? Today, it is politically correct. It is politically correct to mistreat, verbally abuse, criticize, antagonize, even in the news media, Christians. Doesn't bother me. Jesus told us it was going to happen. So we just take it, we carry on, and we keep doing what we're supposed to do. We don't get impacted by their political correctness. We tell people the truth anyway. He said, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be afraid of their pricks. In other words, sometimes we're going to feel like pin cushions everywhere we go. People jabbing us, jabbing us, jabbing us, jabbing us, jabbing us, jabbing us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, preacher? Keep on going. That's what he told Ezekiel. That's what he tells us. Do not be discouraged. Do not grow weary in well-doing. You will reap a harvest if you do not. Do not give up. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. You see, well, when we get discouraged, did I tell you how to deal with discouragement? You look at the circumstances of the world in one hand, you got your Bible in the other. If not, we will get beat down. And if you have been beat down, you need more of him in you And where that comes from is from the word, is knowing and understanding. Do not be afraid of their poison. Do not be afraid of their looks. That one tickles me. You know, they're going to look at you. You know, Christians are the world's worst. Well, they looked at me real dirty. And that was at church. It was probably indigestion or something, you know. And we go, oh, that hurt my feelings. Hey, get rid of your feelings. Come on, folks. I was talking about somebody the other day. When you get beat down, you know, one of the best things you can do is go serve somebody else. Just go serve somebody else. I promise you, there's somebody much worse off than you. And if you will get your focus off of you, you'll be amazed at how much better you feel, particularly when you're doing it in the name of and for the glory of God. You see, he had a message to deliver, a wonderful message, a message of judgment and a message of hope. And I know that in my understanding, north of the border, we're not, preachers can't really say a whole lot of ugly things, you know, like, you're a sinner. You can't say that. Homosexuality is against God's word. You can't say that. My understanding in Canada, that's the beginning point. You can't say that. And it's coming this way. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that probably in my lifetime, we'll see pastors placed in jail here. I've told you that for years. It wouldn't surprise me one day that we're sitting in here, and somebody walks in the door, and they take me out. You say, what are you going to do? I'll go tell the story in jail. I would figure that they need it in there worse than anybody out here. You see, Ezekiel was given a message. He was given the power. He was given an assignment. And then he was given encouragement to go deliver the message. And that's the same thing that's true of us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So guess what? When you have fear, it's you. It's you. It's you. You're fearful. You are fearful. Remember, it's not you. It is the one who lives inside of you. And we need to connect with the one who lives inside of us, who is Jesus. And we need to realize that he has empowered us. He has emboldened us. He has authorized us to go into the world with a message and deliver that message. And then we're going to look to see tonight that the bottom line of this is Jesus had work to do, and we have work to do too, and we need to finish the work. When he got near the end of his life, it was about time for his crucifixion, he said, Father, glorify your name. I finished the work you gave me to do. When I get to the end of my life, whenever it is, I want to be able to say, I have finished the work you gave me to do. I have finished the work you have gave me to do. I'm on course there. I'm staying there. I'm not going to adjust myself to the world. I'm going to adjust myself to the world through the Word of God so that my life will reflect what this says to what's going on in the world. If not, your preacher would be standing up before you every week, discouraged, depressed, beat down. Do I ever walk down that path? Occasionally. How long do I stay? About 15 seconds. Thank God. And I realize that some people get discouraged and depressed and beat down for a whole lot of reasons. But I know one thing that as a believer we can all do. Proverbs 4:23 tells it. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. When you let situations, circumstances, and people get inside of your heart, before long you're going to become mean, nasty, discouraged, anxious, bent out of shape. But when you say, no, I only want Jesus to fill my heart. I only want the truth and the Word of God to fill my heart. Because I have a message to take, and the message and the assignment trumps the response. So what do? You keep telling it, you keep telling it, you keep telling it, you keep telling it, you keep telling it. I've practiced this for years. Over 35 years, I have come up with you and I've said, let's do this. Some people will say, let's go. Some people say, I don't know. Some people say, I ain't going. Okay. My approach to that has been, I'm going to take as many people with me on this trip as I can, and maybe next time I'll come back and others will go along. So here's what we do. We go take the message. Some people will accept it. Some people reject it. Some people will be hostile towards you. Keep telling it. Next time maybe you'll take others with you, but don't give up. don't get discouraged in well-doing. God has a task for you to do. He has authorized you to do it. Now you may say, I can't. Good. You're ready now. You can't. He can if you will surrender to Him and His power. Guess what? Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. But He called you to do it. And nobody can do it like you. You've heard, tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to say it again. 35 years ago when I first came here, everybody was talking about Dr. Stanley this. And I said, and I love Dr. Stanley. He's a wonderful preacher. I love to hear him preach. And it was like, God, what am I going to do? Everybody listens to Dr. Stanley before they come to church. They come in after to listen to me. What am I going to do? He said, listen, if I wanted Dr. Stanley to be a pastor of this church, I would have taken care of that and had him down here. Okay, good. That helped. You see, anybody can do it, but I got the opportunity. I get the privilege. I get the blessing. And there's things that God has called you to do that anybody can do it, but He said, I want to give you the blessing and the benefit and the opportunity and the privilege. So don't say, I can't. Say, I will by the power that you've given to me. Stand with me, please, as we come to a time of invitation and prayer. If you're a guest today, we begin our invitation time off with prayer. This is a time to fill this place up. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So we're going to pray. We're going to take a few minutes to pray. And Pastor Paul and I will be down here at the front. Do you need to come and make Harps Crossing Baptist Church your church home? Some of you have been putting this off, and it's time to stop putting it off and just join today. Just come to one of us and say, listen, I have been born again. I've been baptized by immersion. I need to make this my church home. Or I've been born again, and I need to be baptized. Or today, I need to talk to somebody about trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord. However He's leading you, I encourage you to join the army right here at Harps Crossing Baptist Church. Find a place to pray. Come down to the altar. You can sit, stand, kneel, whatever fits best for you. But let's turn this room right now into a place and a time of prayer as God's people cry out and seek Him. If you're watching by way of live stream, I want to encourage you likewise to join us in prayer. The greatest need of America is that God's people would pray and surrender. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, Lord. Not mine. Not mine. It's not about me. It's all about you.